B-Pod Studios.
The Mike Missinelli Show.
Tyron, hey, play the song. I need a little song as we go into the introduction of our next song. Now, we start playing this Tighten Up song for many different reasons. Because it's appropriate for when we're using the phrase tighten up a little bit, whether it's in sports, whether it's a hairstyle, whatever. And of course, this is one of the great names and bands of our time. Starting way back in the day. All you old school people, and even you're younger, this song translates to today. Of course, it's Tighten Up by the great Archie Bell and the Drells, and on the Comcast Business Hotline, Beyond Faz, we have the man himself, Archie Bell. What's up, Archie?
How you doing, Mike?
I'm doing great, man. It's great to talk to you. This is an honor for all of us here to speak with such a legend, because we play Tighten Up all the time. And
I appreciate that.
And you know, everybody play it. It's like one of those songs that the test of time. You know what I'm saying? So talk to me about this song. And like, first of all, your history is pretty interesting. You got a Philadelphia connection because a few years into your career, you were produced by Gamble and Huff, right?
Right. Yeah. When first we was on the Atlantic label. Kenny Gamble and Leon Huff, we were working in Northside, New Jersey, at a club called Loretta's Hi-Hat. And after the first show, Kenny Gamble and Leon Huff came in the dressing room and said they wanted to produce me, you know.
All right, were appearing at a club in Trenton, New Jersey, and you caught the eye of Gamble and Huff?
Yeah, and they came in the dressing room and they said they wanted to produce. I didn't know who Gamble and Huff, I had never heard of them before, and I called my manager and told my manager. My manager called Atlantic Records, and that's how it happened. Atlantic Records hooked it up for us.
That's all. Philadelphia International, because of Philly sound, of course. And your record later, the Tighten Up, was on Atlantic, I guess, right?
Right, yeah. Kenny Gamble was our producer.
Yes. Tell me about the song, the origin of the song. There's a story behind that, right?
Right. But what happened was, we were recording Tighten Up, and one day I was landing on Plum, and I got a letter from Uncle Sam. You know, I knew they was going to get me, and I was at a really depressed state and everything. And one of the drills came out of the room with a guy named Billy Butler, and he came in the Plum, and the radio was on. He was doing a little dance and made me forget about my problems there for a minute, you know.
So he called the dance to tighten up. You got the draft notice. You were despondent. He said, this is the Tighten Up dance. And you told her, you made a song out of it.
Right. And everything. We used Tighten Up like a word of right on the same word, you know. We said, man, we got to go rehearse today, so we got to tighten up. So that's how I got reflected.
That's a great story. Now, you guys started like really early. You were in your teens when you started Archie Bell and the Drells, right?
Right, junior high school.
Junior high school. So how did you, where did the music thing come to you?
Well, we used to do talent shows at E.O. Smith Junior High School down here in Houston, Fifth Ward, and everything. And every time we played, we used to win the first place talent shows then. The word Drells came, it was just a Drells, D-R-E-L-L-S. There was a guy named L.C. Watson, he liked the Dells. So what he did is took, added Drells, R-E-L-L-S, instead of the Dells, you know.
Uh-huh.
He was in love with the Drells, and at first, it wasn't nobody but just the Drells and everything, but later on, but that name came up because I was the front man, you know, doing all the lead singing and everything.
Uh-huh.
And drills kind of rhyme with Bill, and so that's how that happened.
That's awesome. Now you perfected the style, at least you're like one of the first groups I ever heard. You would talk in your songs.
Right.
Where did you come up with that style?
Well, I wanted the people to know that we was good. We was from Texas, and I heard a disc jockey say about 2 weeks before we recorded the record in San Antonio that nothing good came from Texas because of Kennedy assassination.
Uh-huh.
President Kennedy.
Yeah.
And I said, no, I said, something did could come from Texas. Watching Bill and the Drill. That's why I said, hi, everybody. I'm watching Bill and the Drill from Houston, Texas. We're not on the same, but we dance as good as we walk. I wanted people to know that, not knowing that it was going to be as big a hit as it was.
You kept it in the song. I think that's awesome.
Right.
That's so cool. Now, listen, you have a big family. You have a lot of brothers, and one of them was Ricky Bell. And if you followed sports, you know he was just a great running back, USC, then Tampa Bay Buccaneers. You went to the music side. He was the athletic part of the family?
Yes, and all my mother had seven boys, but we always participated in high school and in church, you know.
Uh-huh.
And doing things, Easter, you know, doing Easter and Christmas and everything, and I'm number two son. My oldest brother, his name Mac. And me and my brother Lee sang in the group with me. Lee Bell, he sang in the drills with me, you know, for many years.
Well, what was it? What was it like? Like, you were a star in music. He was a star in football. What was that like?
It was great, you know. I never thought it would be like that, but he became more famous than I was in about 2 years. It took me about 20 years. He became famous overnight.
Yeah, he did. He really did. Well, listen, you guys broke up, I guess, what, in like 1980?
Yeah, around 79 and 80. I just went
to
one of the solo artists.
You went as a solo artist, and then you kind of stopped it all together. So what are you doing with your life? Are you just hanging out these days?
No, I'm traveling. I've been in Europe three or four times.
Oh, see, are you still performing?
Yeah.
Oh, okay.
I'll be doing the South by Southwest here in Houston in May. In San Antonio in May. So, March. South by Southwest is in March. They have that in Austin every year.
All right. Well, that's good because, you know, I know Kool and the Gang's still out there. A lot of contemporary bands are still out there doing it. Listen, man, it was a pleasure. Cool. It was a pleasure talking to you. I hope you like the fact that we use Tighten Up a lot on this show.
I appreciate that. I really appreciate that. You keep me alive, you know.
Oh, you'll be alive forever. Archie, great. Yeah. It was great talking to you, man. Best of luck to you. Best health as well.
All right. I appreciate that, Mike.
All right, man.
Don't forget to tighten up.
All right. We're good. We tighten up all the time around here.
All right.
All right. Thanks, Archie. All right. All right. That's Archie Bell from the Drells. I know he's still performing.
It's amazing.
That's pretty cool.
South by Southwest.
It really is amazing.
That is amazing.
Good for him.
Can I hear the talk part of that song?
I don't know if it's on there. We played it before.
Archibald from Houston, Texas.
Yeah, I got to get that different.
This is a cut.
Yeah, that way we'll go right to it. We'll get it, yeah.
Yeah, because that talking part of it was well, I loved the talking part of songs, like back in the day.
I love his last words. Don't forget to tighten up.
Don't forget to tighten up.
Classic.
Oh, we can play Soul City Walk today, Tyrell. So that was the Gamble and Huff era. Atlantic had him first, and Gamble and Huff came in. That's an interesting story. So they were playing in Trenton, and Gamble and Huff heard about him, and boom, latched right onto him with the Philadelphia International label.
My wife's uncle was telling me about how he saw him many times in Trenton,
really?
New Jersey.
Oh,
yeah, over the holidays, he was like, oh, Archie Bell. In Trenton, New Jersey, we used to see him every week. I was so excited about it.
Whose question was that? Soul City Walk. Soul City Walk was not their biggest. Tighten Up was the biggest hit. Tighten Up, I think, went to number one, if I'm not mistaken. I don't know. I have to look this up. Soul City Walk was never as popular as Tighten Up.
I got the talking part all queued up.
Oh, you do? All right, let's hear Archie Bell in the talking part of this song.
In Houston, we just started a new dance called the Tighten Up. This is the music we tighten up with. First, tighten up on the drum. Come on now, drummer. What's you to tighten it up for me now?
Come on now, drummer. This is the classic part of that, the old school song.
Tighten up on that bass now.
Yeah, with that bass now.
Tighten it up. Yeah. Now let that guitar fall in. Oh, yeah.
Oh, yeah.
Stand up on an organ now.
The organ. Not the keyboards, it's the organ back then. There he goes.
Yeah, now. I said if you could do it now, the show would be tough. Now look here.
Now look here.
Now make it level.
There it is. Now, this song went to number one. It only has two words in it.
Really?
Seriously. So it was just like the music and the beat, boom.
How did it even get brought up on the show? You brought it up one day, didn't you?
Yeah, I brought it up because it's like a classic. Like,
yeah.
You
know,
you're talking about
what was it in reference to, though? It wasn't.
No, you were talking about some other group. And then you mentioned that, and we played it. And then it's in the system, so then it became a thing to tighten people up. It was all organic, though. Yeah. Nothing was planned.
Yeah. Oh, no, I know. That's
out, what... It just came out of my head one day for some stupid reason.
It's
such a classic, you know.
And now here we are, months later, with Archie Bell.
Archie Bell.
Oh, it makes me so happy.
On the line.
I know.
All right, let's go to Chip in Mount Airy. Chip, you're on 97.5 The Fanatic. Chip.
Hey, Mike, Matt.
What's up, Chip?
Tyrone. What's going on?
How you doing?
Hey, congratulations, by the way, on the ranking.
Oh, thank you.
I've been listening to you since you were linked up with a guy named Steve Frederick.
Oh, yeah.
So,
yep.
That's a good word. Now, listen. Yeah. Regarding the Sixers, first of all, I'm tempering my, curbing my enthusiasm because you know that frustrating, the aggravating Sixers team is going to resurface somewhere. But, I mean, it is what it is. But I was listening to I was watching the broadcast on TNT, and who was that?
Iron Eagle and Van Gundy. Yeah, Stan. Who talks a little bit too much, by the way, but that's exactly. Just me. Yeah.
So they're talking about the Elton Brand and Brett Brown dynamic, how at first they both equally were reporting to, I guess, Josh Harris. Then Brown started reporting to EB, but then they're saying that he has to get his rotation approved by Elton Brand.
Like no, he didn't say
personnel?
No, he didn't say that. Mike, no, he didn't say
Brian
that.
High, that's what I heard. That's what he said. That's what they. Now, I don't know if it's true, but that's what they said.
No. He didn't say it that way. He was. They were explaining. Now Brett reports right to Elton Brand and blah blah blah. They weren't saying anything about the rotations. Have to be cleared by Elton Brand.
I swore that he said that.
No, he
that
didn't.
He had to get that clearance. I'm like, that doesn't make a whole lot of sense.
No,
it makes sense anyway.
You misheard that.
What?
Yeah, you misheard.
Okay,
that.
Maybe I did.
Yeah.
All right. But like I said, we'll see how it all turns out. As far as I mean, because remember they did the same thing. What was that? Christmas Day? Was that Christmas against Milwaukee?
Yep.
And they look like world beaters.
Yep.
Then,
well, they beat the Lakers.
And the Lakers,
They beat the Clippers. They beat the Bucks. They beat the Raptors.
So that sounds like a focus problem, though.
Yeah, that's right. They beat the Raptors. They beat the four teams at the top of the conference at home. So that tells you that, you know, when they're in sync, you know, they just have to take that on the road. They haven't played that way on the road.
Right. Well, that's true. But like I said, I think it's more, I don't know, motivation. But I'm not going to go down the Brett Brown road. I guess I'm part of the Out with Brett crew, so
well,
it'll happen.
Yeah, you don't want to think about that Out with Brett now because he's the coach that has to bring it home. So in all season they don't bring it home, then we'll see what the Brett thing is. You want general knowledge question?
Sure.
All right, here's the general knowledge question for the general knowledge category. What is the main ingredient in risotto?
Rice?
Is that what you said? That's correct.
Yes, okay.
Oh, hold on.
Oh, I didn't know if you were asking for the specific time of type of rice.
Main ingredient in risotto is rice.
Yeah.
The arborio.
Yeah.
Arborio rice.
Yeah.
Yeah. But we take rice.
Okay.
Yeah.
That's something I would like to make.
Stan Van Gundy say that.
It's tough.
You have to stand over it.
Yeah, for like an hour.
You have to put a little liquid at a time and start. It's like a 20-minute process.
Yeah, I've never tried. I'll
have you standing over it. I have. It's fun. At the end of the product.
It's worth it.
Yeah.
All right.
Well, for me, like, it's like, you know.
Yeah, yeah.
Because I got nothing else to do. I got you. But stand over and star.
I got you.
All right. The thing Magani said last night. See, and this is the thing about national people, that they only see snippets of a team. Like, we see every dribble. It's like the people, they used to judge McNabb and go, hey, people in Philadelphia are crazy. But we saw every snap of McNabb. So we saw all the fallacies of Donovan McNabb. And, like, we look at the Sixers team and we see every dribble. So Zdeno Magundy says last night, and it was a complimentary thing, but it's like over the top. He said Ben Simmons is one of the top three two-way players in the league. Now, I know he was trying to praise him, but a man who doesn't take a shot cannot be considered one of the top two-way players in the league.
No, not
now,
yet.
No, that's just, and I hear that and I go, really, Stan? You know, and the rest of the nation will buy that, right? But we sit here and we go, we're watching the guy who won't take a shot.
Right.
Like, hold off on that. Like, that's aggravating us, that he's not the perfect two-way player.
Stan was like the anti-Barkley. And,
yes,
and
that he went
over positive, but exactly. With the same amount of, like, knowledge of not really watching the games of the
players. And you're right. I texted you about that. You go, he only watched the highlights.
Yeah.
And he does.
If he watched the highlights.
And last night, so Ben throws even a jump shot in, and we're going, well, that's the first time we've seen that all season, right?
Right.
And Van Gundy's got him at the top of two-way player. He's not that.
No, although his defense.
He's a great defender.
It's getting to the point
and
where it's hard
to. When he attacks, he's a good offensive player. With limits.
Right. Right. Like Giannis plays it on both ends
exactly.
And does everything because he's willing to shoot, even though he's not great.
And
at
Kawhi.
It. Yeah.
Yeah, it goes without saying.
Right, because he played does
now,
both ends.
Ben is not in that category offensively yet.
Stan. No, but he's as good as both of them defensively.
Yes, he is.
Good as anybody defensively.
610-632-0975. Two lines are open. It's a good time to get in. Jeff in Camden, you're on 97.5 Fanatic. Jeff.
Mikey Mitch, what's going on,
what's
man?
What's up, Jeff?
Yo, I'm just chilling here, man. So it's like this, man. I think it's probably time for both sides to move on with Joel Embiid. I mean, you can talk if you want to, but the productive thing would be to focus your energy on finding strategies to help this team win. Because everybody's listening, and I think, you know, those thoughts go into account to be inclusive of all the fans, you know?
Yes, I agree with you. And like I said, he should not get involved in fighting with fans. I know it's hard because you're personal pride, you get wounded, all that thing. That's just a waste of energy what he does. So when even last night he goes, I got to be better and they got to be better. They don't have to be better. The fans don't have to be better. They're fans. You can't can't lecture the fans into being like sit on their hands and you know be perfect. They're fans.
Yeah, that's one thing Sir Charles didn't do was go back and forth. He said what he had to do and he said what he had to say and he was done with it, you know?
Exactly, yeah. And so Joel still kind of carried it on last night. Well, I have to be better and they have to be better. Well, no, they don't. Just forget what they do.
Yeah.
All right.
I agree.
All right, man. You want a general knowledge question?
Yeah, let's do it.
Here we go with Oscar-winning actors.
Ooh.
All right. You a movie guy?
Well, Oscars is a fraudulent establishment. I watch the MTV Movie Awards, but let's try and see what we can do here.
All right.
I don't watch the Oscars.
All right, let's go with you are aware that certain films win Oscars, though, right?
Yeah.
All right, so let's go with 2014, the Dallas Buyers Club. Who won Best Actor?
The what?
Dallas Buyers Club.
That's a movie?
Yes. You don't remember the movie?
I didn't see a movie like that.
Dallas Buyers Club. It starred a major actor who won the Oscar for his role.
I don't know, man. Aaron Eckhart?
No. It's Matthew McConaughey.
Yes.
Yeah, the Dallas Buyers Club he had AIDS from being a needle user, and he ran out of a hotel room, a drug company, so people affected with AIDS could get medication without, whatever.
I thought it was a good movie.
His only great role.
And that was, of course, Jared Leto.
Yeah, he was great in that, too.
Yeah, he's been great a lot of times. But yeah, McConaughey, that was the only time he was great. To me, he's okay and everything.
Yeah, I agree with you.
I didn't know. Mike just told me yesterday that he interviewed him.
Yes, I did.
All right, all right,
I
all
had,
right.
I had a one-on-one with Matthew McConaughey when We Are Marshall came out. I actually asked him about the bare chest thing.
What did he say? What, about the bongos?
No, he would just walk around bare-chested all the time.
Oh, yeah.
In public.
Mm-hmm.
And I just asked, like, he looked at me like he's never been asked that question. Like, people were afraid to ask him the question. And he looked at me and he went, you know, he had this, like, smirk on his face.
Yeah.
And I forget what he said about it. He said, you know, I just feel comfortable, you know, I just felt comfortable doing it.
Like, because
something like that. It was, well, like,
because I can.
Yeah,
because
one time,
essentially,
he was playing the bongos nude.
Yeah.
And they
in
asked
Texas.
Him about it, and he said, it's just better that way. I guess I'll take his word for it, because I've never played the bongos nude to know. So if he says it's better, I'll just, sure, Matthew, whatever you say, buddy.
Yeah. Did he get
I can't imagine. Yeah, because he was playing
interview.
Nude.
He was eccentric, and I asked him some eccentric questions. And it was a movie junket that I was on somehow. It was for CN8, which is now NBC Sports Plus, Philadelphia Plus. And I just happened to be available, and these sports movies came out, and they had these press junkets that, so I flew at the Beverly Hills. This is in Beverly Hills. I stayed at the Four Seasons of Beverly Hills. And I got a one-on-one with the McConaughey and Matthew Fox from We Are Marshall, and Sylvester Stallone, who was at that time Rocky Balboa, came out.
That's great.
And Matthew Fox, who people remember from Lost, cried in my interview.
You made him cry?
No, I didn't make him cry. He played, if you remember We Are Marshall, which is a very tear-jerking, sad movie. You weren't affected by that?
No.
I was. I cried in that movie.
Yeah, that was
sad. That is a sad movie. So what in the movie, like, the assistant coach didn't get on the plane. I forget his name, was Red something. And he was called off to go recruit, and he took a rental car somewhere to recruit in that area as they were getting back on the plane, and the plane crashed, and the whole team perished. And Matthew Fox played that guy's character. So when I was talking to him about the role, he said he got really close to the guy that he was playing, and he just welled up with tears.
Wow.
That's
intense. I didn't know what to do at that point. I was like,
what did you do?
I paused. I let him, like,
get himself together.
Yeah.
You let him.
Yeah.
Did you, like, tap him on the arm?
I didn't tell him to tighten up.
You let him tighten up.
Well, I let him breathe, like, and like, get his, like, I wasn't ready for the next question until he was ready. So.
Did you console him at all?
No. I'm not going to say, Matthew, it's going to be okay. I like that sound more phony now. The guy was well over tears. He was so emotionally involved in the character, feeling bad for the guy, because the guy carried a heavy burden after that in his life, right?
Right.
So he was like replicating the guy. And I just let him go. Let him absorb the emotional moment.
How long did it take?
The interview?
No, how long did he cry for?
I gave him a minute, I think.
Okay.
I don't remember. How long it was.
Was he like sobbing for like 5 minutes,
no,
or was he just
sobbing.
Tearing?
He, his eyes welled up with tears,
right,
and got really red.
Okay.
And so, it wouldn't have been appropriate for me to hit him with another question at that point.
Right.
So I had to just like lay back. I just kind of looked down at my notes.
Everything's going to be just fine.
Aw. You would have gone, aw. Matthew,
I feel your pain.
610-622-0975. Back after that.
The Mike Missinelli Show.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. It's going to be a busy year for country superstar Jason Aldean. He's extended his Highway Desperado tour and is teaming up with Kid Rock for Rock the Country tour dates. We've ranked our top 5 Jason Aldean music videos. Text Jason to 45911 to see if your favorite made the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Jason to 45911 and we'll send the link straight to your phone.
The Fanatic.
All right, It's 4:30. Mike Mussnelli Show. 97.5 Fnatic. Time for an update on our Twitter poll. Check it out. It's brought to us by Paul B. Moyer and Sons, Natalie Eganoff.
Thanks, Mike. Over 800 votes on today's poll. How do you feel going into the NBA All-Star break? 9% say great, 50% say good, 35% say mediocre, and 6% say bad.
All right, 50% say good.
Yes.
Great? No. Great declined.
Great's only at 9%.
Great declined. No.
Yeah.
People aren't feeling great.
No, they're feeling
better. They're feeling gooder, but they're not feeling greater.
Correct. They're feeling more good.
Good has gone up. Great has gone down.
They're feeling more good than they are more
okay.
great.
Okay. All right. That's fair. Let's go to Arnold in Cheltenham. Arnold, you're a 97.5 Fnatic.
Hello. How you doing?
What's up, Arnold?
You know, I've been listening to your show a long time, plus Tyrone's every time they come on. Listen, I really enjoyed the game last night, but I don't know where this team's going. I think they're going pretty far. I look at the team's history of having trouble this year. They ain't really been healthy. The first game, we beat Miami real good, and the next thing you know, Josh Richardson was out. They won two games on the road. Then Josh Richardson goes out and indeed hurts his finger. Now, the doctor I was sitting behind said he'll be ready to play again good after the All-Star break. It looked like his game is starting to come around.
Mm-hmm.
And then I believe Simmons' shot's coming, because in my day, your shot started with the foul shot. Isaiah Thomas said that's what he needed to do first, his foul shot. All right?
Do you think Ben Simmons' shot is coming? What do you mean by that?
3-point shot.
Yeah, that's not coming.
We started. What?
That's not coming. You're not going to see that the rest of the year.
No, I don't know if it don't come this year, if it comes
I'm not worried about next year. I'm worried about this year.
Well, his game has changed this year. Last year in the playoffs, he did not go to the hole like he's starting to go on a consistent basis and knock down the foul shots that he's knocking down. He wasn't doing that last year.
You're right. We'll see in the playoffs, because they're going to play him the same way. We'll see if he continues to attack.
Now, what Isaiah Thomas and them said when they talked about him, is if he gets his foul shots together, he can attack more, mm-hmm. and then his points are starting to go
up. Absolutely, because he's shooting better at the foul line. You're right.
Yeah, so then his 3-point shot will come out. Hey, I have my tickets, I hope, next year.
Yeah. All right, so far?
I got one more point I want to make.
All right, go ahead.
Now, we're trying to build a championship team, right?
Uh-huh.
Do we need talent, or are we going to get rid of everybody when they say something stupid?
Nobody's getting rid of anybody. That's just fan talk chat. That's fan discontent. The Sixers aren't getting rid of anybody.
I know how they feel. This boy got a contract for, what, $144 million?
Yeah. You go, listen, both of them, you're going to be able to trade either one of them. If you want to trade them, you can trade them. The Sixers aren't going to. Yeah.
But I don't want to see him 4 times a year in Miami.
You know, they would never trade either of them to Miami. That's the one thing you can rest assured. Keith in North Philly, you're on 97.5 Fnatic. Keith.
Hey, what's up, man? How you doing?
What's up, Keith?
Hey, man, look, I just want to make a quick point.
Mm-hmm.
Ex-ball player, I am. Just like I know you play some ball. Listen, a layup, a finger roll, a reverse layup, a teardrop, they all have one thing in common. It is a shot. And people usually jump in order to make it. So what I'm saying is Ben Simmons does shoot the ball. He's about 20 points a game. So I agree with Van Gundy that Ben is a top 3 two-way player. We need to get off Ben and Embiid's back a little bit, because it is a 5-man game.
Nah, come on, man. You're letting him off the hook too easy. A guy that doesn't shoot the ball, it's ridiculous that he doesn't shoot it. I understand that he can get to the basket and score and blah, 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 but you're putting more pressure on yourself without the way to score.
We need the other 3 people to step up.
You got two stars, right? The two stars have to be stars. The other people support the stars. So, you know, like, don't let Ben Simmons off the hook here. He needs shoot it.
That's not his game. Hey, let me just say this to you, Mike. Check this out.
All right, got
it. You remember with the Eagles? You remember, what was the guy, the dancing receiver? The funny dude. What was his name?
The
guy that was always dancing. Yeah, he wanted. He didn't want to be a receiver. He wanted to be on special teams.
Mac Hollins.
Yeah, yeah. So this is my point. Like most guys, we have aspirations of making it to the league, right?
Yeah.
Very few people know for sure that they're going to make it. My point is this. If you're fortunate enough to get there, like a Mac Hollins, right, he knows what he's going to have to do to stay in the league. So he decided that he wants to be on special teams. It's the same thing with Ben. He knows his strengths and his weaknesses.
That's a violation.
We make him to be a star, man.
Ben's got a lot more to give, Keith, than he has given. There's no reason for him not to shoot a jump shot, a medium-range jump shot. There's no reason for it.
How do we know he's going to be effective doing it?
He did one last night, didn't he?
He
is afraid to take it. Last night, he made a step-back medium-range jumper.
Yeah, but if he shot 10 times a game, jump shots, all right, what's his percentage?
Well, how do I know? Guarantee. He doesn't even do it. I have no idea what the percentage is going to be, but you got to do it to find out.
All right, Mike.
Come on, man. Right. You can't just let the guy off the hook and say, well, it's okay for him offensively if he attacks like he attacked last night. What I'm saying is you're probably not going to have games where you can attack like that every single night. So to make it easier on yourself and to make it easier for you to attack, you need to shoot that little shot that he shot last night. Let's not let him off the hook here. 610-632-0975. That's how you climb in with one open line. That's the Mike Missinelli Show, 97.5 The Fanatic.
The Mike Missinelli Show.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. It's going to be a busy year for country superstar Jason Aldean. He's extended his Highway Desperado tour and is teaming up with Kid Rock for Rock the Country tour dates. We've ranked our top five Jason Aldean music videos. Text Jason to 45911 to see if your favorite made the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Jason to 45911 and we'll send the link straight to your phone.
97.5 The Fanatic.
444. It's been a fast day today. It's been fast, hasn't it?
I just realized that too.
Yeah. Anyway, it's General Knowledge Wednesday. And General Knowledge Wednesday. We haven't had many General Knowledge questions, so we're going to hit it hard from this point on. Brought to us by Testa North America, the choice of HVAC techs who count on having the most accurate tools in their toolbox when precision measurements matter. Be sure with Testa. We're giving away a pair of tickets to Incubus, BB&T Pavilion, 3-11, Bad Flower, Sunday, August 23rd. Also, a pair of tickets to Tim McGraw, Luke Combs, and that'll be September 12th at Citizens Bank Park. So let's go to Thomas in Germantown. Thomas, you're on 97.5 The Fanatic. Thomas.
How you doing?
What's up, Thomas?
Hey, look, you was right about what you said, and, you know, I would get sucked in, huh? We just like are like on certain things. You know, I'll be telling people. As far as number 30, he couldn't throw a grape in the ocean.
Well, it's more than that. He looked scared. He looked scared last night. He looked panicky. Now here's the thing I say about him. Their defensive intensity was kicked up a little bit last night. Like, they saw him, like, he was making three-point shots, right? So they go, pay attention to him. Good teams will pay attention to you. So you got to learn how to, like, combat that. And when they ran at him last night, he looked very unsure of himself. Now, in the playoffs, that's what's going to happen. That's why I go, okay, he makes some threes. He had a couple great nights. But I don't think he's that reliable for playoffs. That's all my opinion was.
Okay, mm-hmm. here's point number two. Okay, now Ben Simmons and Embiid did what he did, but Ben Simmons did it too, and it blew over. It wasn't no big thing. Because a while ago, he did the same thing, but only he spoke on it. Do you remember that?
What did he do? He didn't troll on social media.
No, I'm not talking about troll. I'm talking about about the fans, about getting on board and not getting on board.
Yeah, I don't remember him saying. What did he say, Tyrone?
It was after the next game won. You guys stay over there or something like that, he said.
Yeah, something like that, right.
Oh, yeah, okay.
Okay. Now, his last thing. Now, did you like the change of the lineup that Brett Brown did as far as...
Well, obviously, it worked. It looked like it worked out. Now, we'll see if it continues to work out, but I thought it was a good idea.
Do you like it?
Do I like it? I haven't warmed up to it yet. I don't know. Like, the starter's got to be Glenn Robinson III. I don't know what he's going to give them as a starter. I got to figure it out first. I can't knee-jerk. Really, I can't do one game. I can't say whether I like it or not. It seemed to be a good idea last night.
But he gets more playing time this way, right?
Who, Al Horford?
Right.
No, he about the same amount, maybe even a little less.
So how you feel about Tobias Harris playing?
Why are these questions? These are like open-ended questions, man. Like, Tobias Harris is a good player. He can score. Like, what do you want me to say about him?
I'm saying, don't you think that he has arrived?
Sometimes he looks like he is what he is. He's a guy that's not going to be a star, superstar, but he can get you buckets. Last night, he had a great game. Sometimes he doesn't get you buckets. Sometimes he doesn't look engaged. My man's gone with the conversation. They need Tobias Harris. Yeah, they need him. Aren't we going to try this again with Jim? Are we going to try this again? He's relentless, this guy. Go ahead, Jim, try it again.
Yeah, Mike, I guess if I criticize you, you're just going
to
hang
no,
up.
No, because
like,
you yeah, waste right? time with 2 minutes. Then get to your point.
Yeah, whatever excuse you want to use. I got a fix, man. What's the name? Jalen Rose. Bring him in, the head coach. Give him whatever he wants for 5 years, and we'll be good for 5 years.
They beat the Clippers last night. You talking to me about Jalen Rose coaching?
Yeah, I know. They got a great road record, too, don't they, Mike? We got nothing but confidence in them going into the playoffs. We shouldn't make them lose.
Right, this is
Brown's great.
A day after they play their best game of the year, you want to fire the coach.
Like I said, I'll forget about the road record, and I'll forget about Brett Brown being a bum and who lost to the guy from I would have got only lost to the Celtics. When he lost to the Celtics and got out coached, I would have got rid of him.
All right. Is that it?
No, I'm still going. You got nothing, no retort?
On a day after when they play one of their best games of the year, it's like your timing is not good for...
Yeah, the day after Jerome said they were going to lose last night. I mean, they were going to... Yeah, that's right. They said they were going to lose. That's right. He thought they were going to lose last night to the Clippers. Good call there, Jerome.
Why do we even do it? Why do I even do it?
Well...
Why do I even take his call? What is wrong with me?
Well, we won't for the next 90 days, so we ain't got to worry about it. We won't.
This guy just is just... Let's go to Rocco and Kate May. Rocco, you're on 97.5 The Fanatic. Rocco.
Hey, Mike. Thanks for taking my call.
What's up, Rocco?
I got 2 points. First of all, my Sixer point is that I am happy the way Brown rearranged his starting lineup. Mm-hmm. And I think it is going to work.
I hope it does.
I think he finally found a place for Horford.
Mm-hmm. I hope you're right. He had to change something. Fans have been talking about this for a long time. Hey, let him come off the bench. So, like, when he did it last night, I was kind of shocked, to be honest with you.
Yeah, we all were, but whatever works, let's work with it.
Yeah, well, it worked last night. You can't complain about the result last night. Now, we'll see what happens from this point on. They don't really have a great starter in his place. So we'll see how this works out.
Yeah, we'll take it game at a time, right?
Yes. They at least have to try it.
Now, my second point.
Mm-hmm.
I disagree with you that Archie Bell and the Drells and Tighten Up and Soul City Walk, you said it's not quite as popular. Jerry Blab is still using it and brings back old Wagner days and all his shows now, and all wherever he goes in Margate, he is still using the Soul City.
I'm sure he is. I'm talking about where it ranked and how successful it did when it was out. That's all I'm saying.
Oh, okay. Well,
like I'm telling you that Tighten Up went to number one. And Soul City Walk went, I think, as high as like 42 on the charts because they used to have the charts, right?
Yes.
Remember the charts? Yeah.
Yes. But Jerry is still playing.
I'm sure he is. It's a Jerry type of song.
Yes, he does. Well, all right,
Matt. You want a Channel Knowledge question?
Oh, yeah, absolutely.
All right, here we go with U.S. States by Clue. All right, so I'm going to give you something the state is noted for, and you tell me what the state is. This state has parishes instead of counties.
Louisiana.
That's correct. Louisiana. All right, let's go Jim in Palermo. Jim, you're on 97.5 The Fanatic. Jim.
Hi, Mike. How you doing?
What's up, Jim?
With the last Jim, I got scared. I thought that was me. Mike, without Horford, I've been asking for a while for him to come off the bench, and not for any reason. I know you mentioned the money and everything,
mm-hmm.
but to see what the players were and who they are, and especially with the new additions, I think that with Ben, Tobias, and Embiid, they're big guys, and you know, and for Al to find his way and who he fits with before the playoffs come, that it would be nice to see who he feels comfortable with. You know, yes. I don't know, you know, if Shake is going to play at all.
No, so we kind of thought that yesterday. He was the guy that's going to lose his minutes.
Yeah, I mean, I understand that. And then some of the new guys, but I'd like to see who he's comfortable with so that, you know, when he comes in and replaces, that these guys can be fresh and super fresh. And, you know, I look at a guy like, you know, it could be Richardson and Horford that are like a great combo together
mm-hmm.
for a few minutes. And I like that. And I'm not putting this in your face, Mike, because when it comes to the playoffs, I believe Al's going to be more important than Kemba. If you had to pick right now, knowing what you know, but thinking about the playoffs and not what we're seeing, would you go Kemba or would you go Al?
Well, why would I go Kemba?
Just asking. Well, I didn't even know that he was making the All-Star team, so I don't get to see him.
Kemba doesn't play for the Sixers, so what kind of, I don't understand the question.
No, for the Celtics. Like, if you were going to, if you had your choice.
I don't have any opinion. I mean, that's the Celtics.
I'm trying to squeeze in as much as I possibly can.
I got you.
I was just asking, like, if you had to go back to the drawing board and it was Elton Brand picking, you know, who you're, what do you call it?
Well, Kemba would have never worked here. Ben Simmons was here. So Kemba wasn't an option.
No, that's fine. And then just my last point, Mike, I think that we're going to be better after the All-Star break because I don't know if you agree or not, but I really believe that to Embiid and Ben Simmons, the All-Star game means the world. Mm-hmm. And then they get serious afterwards. And last thing, Natalie would have cried at We Are Marshall. You know, because I cry at these things in Dallas Buyers Club. But if mm-hmm. Natalie didn't see We Are Marshall, she would tear up.
It's a very sad movie. You haven't seen We Are Marshall?
I said that I saw it and I cried.
Yeah, Chiron doesn't cry.
I said I wasn't moved by it. Natalie was moved by it. Natalie's normal.
Yeah, you're a hard-hearted man.
I get moved by certain movies, just not that movie. I was moved when Apollonia died in Godfather. Crushed me. I loved Apollonia. I felt that love.
She was kind of a brat.
I liked her. I loved Apollonia.
Naturally.
I wasn't moved by Apollonia at all.
I was.
Blown up in the car.
I was. That hurt me.
She was nagging.
Well, Monday, Wednesday, Saturday. Yeah, I loved Apollonia.
Andiamo, Michele. Andiamo, you promiso.
About to drive.
Yeah, enough.
See, look. Right.
5 o'clock hour. We're back after this.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Like most fans of country music, we're excited to learn that Luke Combs was back in the studio working on his next album. We've come up with our list of iconic Luke Combs music videos. Yes, Lovin' On You made the cut. Text Luke to 45911 to see if your favorite made the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Luke to 45911 and we'll send the link straight to your phone.